Good morning, friends of Jesus. It is Tuesday, July the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It being Tuesday, you know what that means. It means consecration, of course, and tacos. Let's join together in the presence of Jesus, offering ourselves to Him. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, On the Essential Practice of Preemptive Obedience. Our text is Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 to 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. The Word of the Lord. Now consider this. Let's remember our big banner text flying over this entire series. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's Hebrews 3:13. I just picture like an airplane, you know, out there on the beach, pulling those long signs along the beach. What if it said that? That's what it says for us today. Now, the reverse translation of Hebrews 3:13, if we do not encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, we may be hardened, we will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The exploratory spy mission lasted for 40 days, and then the spies returned to the wilderness camp. Imagine how eager everyone must have been to hear the report. They could have not have imagined how consequential this report and their response would be. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So far, so good. Then we come to conjunction junction, and we get the dreaded but. Number one, but the people who live there are powerful. Number two, but the cities are fortified. Number three, the cities are very large. Number four, we even saw descendants of Anak there. Does the Nephilim ring a bell? Number five, the Amalekites live in the Negev. Number six, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And number seven, the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Can you feel the oxygen slowly being sucked out of the room? We have slipped from simple reporting to an analysis of pros and cons. We do it all the time. We go from, quote, God will be faithful to fulfill his promise, to the Benjamin Franklin method, with a reasons why column and a reasons why not column. When God says go, it is appropriate to count the cost, but there is a vast difference in counting the cost and doing cost-benefit analysis. I want to be very clear about something at this point. When God gives a direction or an assignment, we don't determine its legitimacy or veracity by running spreadsheets to see if it makes sense. God's will and assignments rarely make sense in the world's way of making sense of things. We must determine to obey first before we even get the assignment. Then it's not a question of if we will obey, but how we will execute on our predetermined obedience. There will be plenty of time to count the costs, and they must be counted. That said, we would never count the cost to determine if we can afford it or if we have what it takes. Perhaps one of the biggest signs something is God's will is we know that we can't afford it, and we are certain that we don't have what it takes. Or do we need to call Gideon back to the witness stand? Most of the effort and energy to do the will of God I've seen and been a part of in my life has been done in God's name, but in man's calculus. It's been governed more by accountants than apostles. It's been run more by best practices than bold prophets. Good work can happen that way for sure. I'm just not sure we should be calling it God's work. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be part of God's work. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for accountants and calculators and spreadsheets, but teach us where they fit in the sequence of your kingdom and your will. We believe that your vision, done in your way, always leads to your provision. Come, Holy Spirit, and deliver us from our easy assumption that our conventional ways and methodologies are your ways. Trumpets, Lord, thank you for reminding us that you defeat armies and bring down walls with trumpets. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, Lord Jesus, yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I'm going to blow the trumpet here. Ready? That's my shofar, guys. It just felt like it was a shofar moment there. Trumpets. That's such a symbol for us, right? God defeats armies with trumpets. Not all the stuff that we think he needs from us. Our journal prompts today. Do you tend to say yes before the Lord gives a vision or assignment? Or do you tend to need more data before saying yes? I mean, I think that I've too often been on that side of things. I'm like, okay, Lord, need more data. What might preemptive obedience mean for you? We're going to sing in a minute. My dad is going to join me today. We got a little bit of a medley. We're going to sing that great chorus we love, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and it's going to flow right into the great hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. It's number 670, the chorus, and the hymn is number 117 from our Seabed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. So, how about it? You get it? You say yes first. Even before you get the assignment, even before he unfurls the vision, you say yes. I love this quote. I learned it. I don't remember where. I think it was from my old friend Brian Jenkins. He loves to say, if it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's bill. That's good, isn't it? If it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's bill. He has to supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ. It's just so easy to do the cost-benefit analysis. We think counting the cost is doing the cost-benefit analysis. It's not. It's just getting clear on what it's going to take. I wonder what's in front of you these days. I just have a sense that many of you are stepping up to the next place of faith. You've kind of shaken off your guilty fears. You've really made the past. You've just made the altar. It's turning the page on the past. And there's a new day that's dawning. And you don't know what it means or what it is, but you're saying yes to it. And that's a move today. It reminds me of a book that we're going to be publishing at Seedbed here soon. It's one of my favorite preachers, Andrew Forrest. He's the pastor of Asbury Methodist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And just such an encouraging man of God. And I heard him some years ago start talking about this idea. It was called Love Goes First. And it made me immediately think about, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love went first. That made me think of that great hymn, you know, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And, you know, once we come to know him, he puts that in us, right? Like, you go first in a challenging situation that's full of anxiety and fear and uncertainty. You've already said yes, so love goes first. Anyway, we finally got this book, and it's coming out this fall. We're going to release it and launch it at our New Room conference, and I'm going to put a link to it today in a PS in the email, Andrew Forrest. You can pre-order it. It'll come out this fall, but, you know, pre-ordering helps a book reach its potential. Of course, you can get it anywhere you want to get it. It's on Amazon. It's wherever they sell books, but, of course, you can get it on Seedbed, too. But I just wanted to lift that up to you and just start beginning to sing the song. It's called Love Goes First, Reaching Others in an Age of Anxiety and Division. Andrew Forrest. All right, we're going to be singing a little bit of a medley today. You may not need the page of the first one, but we're going to start with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, that little chorus we love so much out here together. That's number 670. And then we're going to flow right into number 117, which is My Jesus, I Love Thee. and we'll be ready to just, if you want to mark 117, that's the one to mark. And Dad is here. Let's hold it right there, Dad. Let's just let that sit right there. He's here with me today.
My eyes are bad.
What'd you say?
My eyes are bad, but I'm here.
My eyes are bad, exactly. So he's got glasses on, but you know you're in trouble when your glasses stop working.
But the Lord can take my bad eyes and make them good.
Amen. Amen. Open the eyes of our hearts. Those are the eyes we want open. Are you ready? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorn on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Last verse.
In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. That's a winner. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining me on that, Dad. It was
my glory.
It's just so good to just sing these hymns together and to fix our eyes. We say at the beginning, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. And we say, I fix my eyes on you. And that's what these hymns, they just help us to fill out our consecration, don't they? And just keep ourselves in his hands.
Just sing them while you're going to work. Watch the road.
He says, sing them while you're going to work, but watch the road. Amen to that. Well, it is time to hit the road today. We got a full day ahead of us. We're going to be coming across all sorts of people. We need to encourage them. Jesus is going to encourage them through you. Just be ready. Remember, just be ready with the seed. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
I'm David Walt.
Amen.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.